Good morning, church. It's lovely to be here this morning and a real privilege to be able to take part in this act of remembrance today. In 2012, in November, I was leading the Remembrance Sunday service in Kandahar, and I was representing the chaplaincy branch in the annual act of remembrance at Kandahar Airfield, and all the men and women who were serving in Kandahar from the British personnel had gathered in the parade square. It was a baking hot day that day. Unfortunately, I had shade, they didn't. And it was really significant, I think, at that point, to be able to take part in a Remembrance Sunday service and lead people in this act of remembrance, people that were actually engaged with it at the time. For them, it wasn't something that was remote. For them, it wasn't just something that was historical. It was their reality. They were living in that present reality day in, day out for them. While they went about their work, they faced the constant threat of rocket-propelled grenade attack, and it was their daily reality. They were constantly listening out for that air raid warning to go. And it was a really special time for me. And I've never forgotten it, and it will stay with me, no doubt, for the rest of my life, as we reflect on the nature of sacrifice. But in 2013, I'd been asked to go out there for this reason, and to bury a World War II bomber crew. It's unusual. So some really keen archaeologists in Italy had discovered the remains of a World War II bomber aircraft, and they found on the remains the serial number of the aircraft, and from that they managed to be able to track down the crew and determine who the crew were when the aircraft went down. Sadly, it had crashed just weeks before the end of World War II. And it had gone down and lost four crew. Two of them were British, two of them were Australian, and they were fighting as part of the Allied forces, and they'd been shot down over Italy, and they'd lost their lives. And they'd managed to, from the wreckage, get together the whatever parts of human remains they had. And the British policy was that prior to the Falkland Islands, where Margaret Thatcher reversed the decision, but prior to the Falkland Islands, you were buried where where your remains were found. So which is why if you go to France and Belgium today, you'll see those vast fields of Commonwealth war graves in the fields of Flanders and all around there, because that's where they died, and so that's where they were buried. And so at the Falkland Islands, we turned the decision around, and Margaret Thatcher said, no, we're bringing our men and women back home, and we will bury them here, which is why we now repatriate. But that wasn't the case. And so because they died prior to the Falklands, they were going to be buried in Italy. And so they dispatched me to go and bury them with a team from the Queen's Colour Squadron and representatives from the family, which was really special. Members of the family that they'd found came out as well, and they'd flown representatives over from Australia, the family from the Australians that had died as well. And we gathered around in a cemetery in Padua, and we buried them, and they had four Commonwealth war gravestones put up for those people there. And it made me reflect even more about the nature of sacrifice, something historical in World War II, and then in Kandahar, something that was an ever-present reality for people. And at this time of year, we remember sacrifice. We remember the fallen. And we're surrounded by images. We communicate a lot through images in our society, don't we? We only need to see certain images, and we associate them straight away with something, don't we? Imagine a big black circle with two little black circles sort of at the 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock position sitting on top of those. What's the image I'm talking about? It's Mickey Mouse. It's probably the most famous image in the world. Mickey Mouse, all it is three circles, and yet you know exactly what I'm talking about as soon as I describe it, the person of Mickey Mouse. And today we're surrounded by two images at this time of year, especially as we gather together in church, two images that speak of sacrifice. I'm wondering if the kids can help me out. Guess what those two images are. They are surrounding us today as well, even in the school, not just in churches. Hands up if you know any of the answers. You could perhaps suggest one of the answers. Some of the images that we've got around us that are talking about sacrifice, talking about people that have sacrificed themselves. Oh, we've got an answer over there. Joshy, you got your hand up. Come on, shout it out nice and loud so everyone can hear. Oh, you've got both right. Well done, top of the class. The poppy and the cross. So what does the poppy remind us of, Joshy? Who does it remind us of? Sacrifice, yes, of people that have sacrificed, have given their lives in the service, usually of this country, those people that have died in war. But I think in doing, if when we think about, in particular, World War I and World War II and the fallen in subsequent wars in this country, I think we actually forget and fail to acknowledge those that sacrificed in many other ways. And I want to acknowledge those as well today, because actually sacrifice isn't just those that gave up their lives. We reflected this morning in the 8:30 as Jesus, according to the writer of Hebrews, said he was the one perfect sacrifice made once and for all. But actually Jesus lived the daily life of sacrifice, and sacrifice isn't just being killed for a cause, but it's actually laying down your life for a cause. And that laying down of your life may not lead to death, but it is sacrificial living is about laying down your life. And in doing so, if we reflect on that, we come to a greater understanding, I think, of remembrance, because especially as we look at World War I and World War II, we remember that the men in World War I went off to war, but the women sacrificed just as much. They lost their husbands, their fathers, their brothers, their sons as they walked off to war, and they sacrificed. They sacrificed their way of life, and they had to take up responsibilities that they never had before, because the country still needed to run. We still needed to grow things. We still needed to drive things. And so women sacrificed a lot. Children sacrificed a lot as they lost their dads and their granddads to war. And then later, as World War II comes around, it's both men and women are fighting in conflict as the armed forces opens itself up to both male and female. And so sacrifice is wider, I think, than just the fallen of the wars. And then Jesus is the other answer, isn't he, Joshy? Jesus is always the answer, really, to actually every question that we ask in church. The cross speaks of sacrifice, doesn't it? The cross speaks about the greatest sacrifice. Jesus said in John's gospel, or John recounts these words of Jesus in his retelling of the life of Jesus. He says, Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, than he'd laid down his life for his friends. It's completely self-sacrificing. And Jesus encourages us in his life and the life that he modeled to be a life of self-sacrifice. Now, yes, we know he went to the cross and he made the one perfect sacrifice, atoning for all of the things that we've done that are wrong. And atonement is a posh word to say making right before God. All those things that we've done wrong, the cross made them right. But actually, his life was so much more sacrificial than just that. His whole life was one of sacrifice. If we look at the stories of Jesus, never once did he say, oh, I'm just going to think about myself right now. It was always what's best for the other people. He said that unless you pick up your cross daily and follow me, you're not one of my disciples. Do you hear that? Unless you pick up your cross daily and follow me, you're not my disciples. Why is that? Because my followers are supposed to be like me. My followers are supposed to sacrifice their lives daily, daily for the people around them. We're supposed to be thinking, what's best for the other person, not what's best for me. And sacrifice reminds us of this. A life of sacrifice isn't just one, a life of martyrdom. Let's not confuse it. A life of sacrifice is saying, I'm not going to seek my own interests, I'm going to seek other people's. I'm going to do what's right by God. I'm going to do what's right by other people. The greatest commandments are these. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. The whole being, love God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. They're the greatest commandments. That is what sacrifice looks like. It's about not thinking about me. It's about thinking of other people. I've been into Bishop Laffer quite a lot this week. It's one of those weeks where I've had sort of every morning assemblies in Bishop Laffer, which has been good. I quite like year sevens in Bishop Laffer. But we've been talking about the concept of sacrifice. We've been talking about the nature of what Jesus did, but we've also been talking about the nature of what other people did for us in conflict throughout history, in the way that they thought a cause was so worthwhile that they're prepared to give their life for that cause. And then I've sort of presented this question to the Year 7s of Bishop Laffer. What would your life look like? What would society look like if you adopted this concept? I'm going to think about other people before me. And I've left them with that question to think about and then said, so what do you think it would look like? What do you think our world and our society would look like if we lived by that motto in life? That was our strap line, and that was the way we were going to behave. What was best for other people rather than what's best for me? Because then they start to think, and they said, well, they start putting their hands up, and they would come up with answers. Well, I wouldn't have arguments. I wouldn't be in conflict with people. There wouldn't be wars. I said, no, they wouldn't, would there? Because you'd be always thinking what's best for other people. You wouldn't be in conflict. If everyone thought what's better for other people, there would be no conflict in the world. But the reality is that is not the world we live in. Because humanity is not like that. It can be like that. Because we're made in the image of a loving God who gave himself so willingly for us. And he wants the best for us. We're made in his image. And so that is in somehow as part of our DNA. We can be so selfless in the way we behave. But sadly, since the fall of creation, we can also be some of the most selfish people that exist in history. We can be people that think, I'm only going to think about myself. I'm not going to think about anyone else. And Jesus modeled a life that was radically different. He modeled a life that was sacrificial in the way that he lived. And some of the teaching that he came up with was not easy teaching. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to follow me, pick up your cross every day and follow me. You know, if you want to love me, first got to hate your mum, your dad, your family members. You've got to hate them. Of course, he doesn't want us to hate our family. That would be contrary to the law. What he's exaggerating is using contrasts of language. And says, your love for me has got to be so great. In comparison, everything else falls into insignificance because you've got to put me first. And so at this time of year, we remember sacrifice. We remember the sacrifice that men and women have paid for us, for our freedom. We remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. He laid down his life willingly for us so that we could be free. I wonder, what is it in our lives? What is it in your life that is so important to you that you're prepared to lay down your life for? What is it? Because Jesus encourages us, the answer to that question, to be this: your relationship with me is supposed to be so important, the most important thing to you, that you're prepared to lay down everything else to be obedient to it. I never thought 15 years ago, when I was happily patrolling the streets of London as a police officer, that as I surrendered to God's will for my life, that I would have ended up taking a Remembrance Sunday service in the deserts of Kandahar, or burying a World War II bomber crew in the fields of Padua. Never thought I would do that. Now, I'm not trying to use myself as a great example, because I am just as damaged and broken as everybody else here. But when we surrender to God, he tends to take us on an adventure. Because God's not into boring. Because he's childlike and he gets bored really quickly. He's into adventure. He's into surprise. He's into beauty. He's into wonder. And when we surrender to him, he takes us on that course and that pathway of adventure. In a moment, we're going to have an act of remembrance. We're going to remember, as the country does at 11 o'clock, we will come silent and we will remember before God those that have fallen in past conflicts. We will remember those that still offer their lives today in service of this country, not just in the military, but in many, many different areas of life, in the emergency services, in the diplomatic field, those that serve the country in different ways. We remember before, and we acknowledge that we live in the country that we're free, and that freedom came at a very, very expensive price. But ultimately, we give thanks that we're free from the bondage of sin and death because of the one perfect sacrifice. And then we will commit ourselves to striving to live better, because remembrance is only remembrance, but that is no use unless it makes a difference. And the challenge of remembrance is, so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to strive for something better? And if the answer is yes, then their sacrifice is not in vain. Because we want to make the world a better place. We want to make it better, because that's God's heart for humanity. Transformation of communities, transformation of nations, not just individuals, but nations and the world. And so we commit ourselves to live a better way and say there is a better way, and that better way is self-sacrifice. That better way is thinking about others before ourselves, and of laying down our lives, our own wants, our own needs, and thinking of other people. So as we come to our moment of our time of remembrance, we will stand in a moment, we will have an act of remembrance, and then we will lay some poppies. And then we'll come to close the service. What I will say is, if you want prayer for anything, we're not going to say it later, we're just going to move straight through, but prayer for anything, prayer ministry will be happening over there by our notice board at the end of the service. Prayer for absolutely anything. If you felt challenged, you think, Lord, I just want to help. There's an area of my life that I'm really struggling with, just to be self-sacrificing in, just self-giving. And I just need your help, then we want to pray for you. But prayer is available for absolutely anything. I'm going to ask Chrissy and Thea if they would come up to help us in our act of remembrance. And will everyone else please stand? Do you want to stand? So as 11 o'clock draws near, on the 11th of the 11th at 11 o'clock, 100 years ago, the armistice was signed and the guns fell silent. So let us remember before God and commend to his sure keeping those who have died for their country in conflict, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of humanity.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn.
At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
We will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. We're going to remain silent as I invite those that are bearing our poppy wreaths to come and lay them on our table here. Most merciful and ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. Grant that we, being faithful till death, may receive with them the crown of life that never fades. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let us pledge ourselves anew to the service of God and humanity, that we may help, encourage, and comfort others, and support those working for the relief of the needy and for the peace and welfare of the nations. So we say together, Lord God, our Father, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all your peoples in the cause of peace, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. Guide us by your Spirit. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us hope, and keep us faithful now and always. Amen. May the God of all power and might make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Remind you that there's tea and coffee at the back as we share in fellowship. For those of you that are coming, we'll see you at 3:00 at the newcomers' tea. If you need directions, please come and speak to myself or Lou afterwards.